Atlanta, we know what's going on. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. Happy Friday, everybody. I think most folks, and we know there were certainly many people in South Georgia affected by the storm, as Mike said. Obviously, our folks down in Florida. But most of us fared fairly well, considering, Mike, I know there were a few deaths, but I say that with all due respect. Like, you know, the way this was talked about, and we're talking about Helene, Mike, you would have thought, okay, the grocery stores were packed, people were doing all the necessary things, and by the way, we need to. We don't know in these situations what's going to happen. But thank goodness this thing didn't turn out to be as bad as we thought it would be, at least in the metro.
Yeah, man. I know when I was making my run yesterday, I went down to the hardware store down the street. They were like down to like the last like 10% of propane they had in their tank because, you know, if you lose power, you got to have something to cook with, right? But I'm with you. If you heard the end of the show yesterday, I really was. I mean, I was trying to be as focused as I could, but I was distracted, worried about all those big trees and I think everybody else in my neighborhood. We really, knock wood.
Yeah.
And you just, it's just... It's the craziness of like that dartboard of where are you in the bullseye compared to how that storm moved like 10 to 15 miles off to the east. And then certainly I've got some good friends in Augusta that are, I mean, trees on houses, on cars and everything. So hopefully you guys made it through. Saw the news last night. So, the flooding, it always kind of floods down near Peachtree Battle and by the creek. But there were some crazy moments down there last night and this morning. But for the most part, Atlanta comes through, and we'll be talking about the Braves because they can play ball today.
That is the good news. We've got plenty of football on tap as well. Bryant McFadden's going to join us, co-host of All Things Covered. The podcast is great with Patrick Peterson, and he's a CBS NFL analyst. We'll get his take on this game with the Saints. We do not like them. We know the deal. This is a huge game for us. And, Mike, it's a division game, which means it's worth even more.
Man, driving up to work today on 85, and I see a Saints fleur-de-lis magnet on the back of a car. Louisiana place, not too hard to identify. You know, no, the tag, it didn't say tag applied for a car. I actually had a license plate.
Oh, wow, that's unusual.
But, I kind of passed because he's only going like 75 and left, so I just and passed. And then there's this jack, like, now he wants to, like, chase and race. I'm like, what is your malfunction? So these idiots are already amongst us, probably sleeping six to a room, Carl, at the Hampton Inn. But anyway, Saints fans will be here this weekend, and hopefully we'll send them home. Those that aren't taking Megabus, hopefully send them home with their tail between their legs.
I hope so, man. There's nothing better, okay, than in the regular season beating the Saints. There's no better win. Okay, maybe the Cowboys, but there's no better win than beating the Saints in your division. So it's a big weekend, man. We're going to talk with B about that. Also, we'll hear from our quarterback coming up a little bit later on this hour with Dave Archer. It's the quarterback report. We'll get Kirk Cousins' opinions about his prep as he gets ready for this game on Sunday. And, of course, plenty on Georgia and Alabama, which is the biggest game of the weekend, guys, as we've been giving you stuff all week long. Mike said it. They're going to play. And we're talking about the Braves. So we head into the final weekend of the MLB season. There's still a lot to be determined, okay? But for us, this is all you need to care about. The D-backs, 88-71, the Mets, 87-70, and us, the Braves, 86-71. We are a game back. Those three teams are vying for two spots, right? That's what you're looking at in this whole ordeal, Mike. And, you know, with this Braves series, we said yesterday, whether one game gets played, whether both games get played on Monday, a lot of this is going to be determined over the weekend because the Mets are at Milwaukee, who've already clinched the third spot.
And remember, you and I were talking about this. We were looking at the schedule, and it's so weird to end, you know, the most important games of your season, and it's interleague play. But the Royals have got everything on the line. They're locked up right now, dead even, percentage-wise, with the Detroit Tigers. So they're looking to obviously improve their position. So you're going to get their best punch. Some Mets fans, I think you may have already seen some of this on social media if you like to, you know, bust Mets fans' chops. But they're complaining about how they've got to go to, you know, oh, you got Braves at least are home. Yeah. We got to make up a series that was scheduled by Major League Baseball to be here at home. It would be nice if we don't have to play those games in the Mets. But I still have a sinking suspicion, Carl, we're going to be playing ball on Monday.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is, I mean, the plus is for us. There is a negative, and that is the sales situation because we know he would have started the other night. I felt like we would have had all the momentum going into that game. But Michael Harris is hot. You look at his last, he's got an 8-game hitting streak going on. He's probably the hottest Brave right now. 5 straight multi-hit games. Ozzy is back. I mean, there are some things that play into our favor. But here's the point, guys. We lead them in this series head-to-head, 6-5. And that is why I think at least one of these games will have to be played. Maybe it's the first game, and maybe we, you know, win the game and determine, hey, with what's happened over the weekend, it won't matter. But us leading them 6-5 in the head-to-head matchup is the tiebreaker remains up for grabs. So you've got to figure out who's going to ultimately be in the playoffs. The D-backs clinch the fifth seed. The Mets win the first game of the doubleheader. And then guess what? All of a sudden, you know, depending on if they win over the weekend, maybe we don't have to play that second game because it's already been clinched. Either way, we got some work to do in front of us. And, Mike, I think it was Snit who went on the Steakhouse this week and said, every game is a game seven right now. That's how you have to look at it. So right. That would have been obviously Thursday, Friday. But it starts tonight, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And, guys, usually, okay, MLB has done this. All these games end on Sunday afternoon. Nobody has an advantage or disadvantage, and they did this purposely. But now, Mike, you're going to have this doubleheader on Monday, and they're going to be the only two teams playing.
So it's where it's at. I know we've already lamented the fact that Major League Baseball allowed for no wiggle room this year with the schedule because of the expansion. And look, I mean, the good news, bad news is because they've expanded the playoffs to six teams, you got to do it like this. But the bad news, if you didn't have a sixth spot, Carl, you wouldn't be in the playoffs.
That's right.
So you got to roll with it, and we'll see if the Braves can and do it. I mean, it really is a meat grinder, and if it comes down to the Mets and the Braves and whose rotation, whose bullpen can do it best. I mean, I hate to not have Minter in a situation like this, but he's out. So we'll just see if they can stay clutch. First things first, just can't lose to the Royals. I mean, it's a moot point if the Royals come in here and whip our butts.
No, it's true. And as far as, you know, listen, you don't want to – we will because we want to know what the Mets are doing against the Brewers. The Brewers can't sit everybody, but here's what they can do. They can adjust their bullpen so that their bullpen is rested for the start of the playoffs.
Right.
It's the last weekend of Major League Baseball regular season. So their everyday guys are going to play. They'll get their at-bats. It's not like they're going to sit everybody. But, Mike, the strength of that team, or at least one of them, is, okay, wait a minute. We don't want to have a taxed bullpen heading into the first round of the playoffs. Now, Monday should be everybody gets off, and it will be, except for us and the Mets. But right. That's the thing that they can do. They can adjust pitching so that they set themselves up for success as they head into the playoffs.
You know, they're locked in. I mean, they need the Phillies to really collapse, and they'd have to sweep. So it seems like you're right. Everything you just touched on, they can bring in somebody who's, you know, one of their expanded roster guys to just see the, you know, eat up some innings. So they're fresh, and that's their prerogative because they won more games. They've earned the right by winning the division to be able to do that.
404-726-0929. It is Dukes and Bell on a Friday. Glad to have you here, man. And we are happy that you're hanging out with Atlanta's number one sports station, 92.9 The Game, its number one sports show. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. We invite you to find us on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes in this radio show. Dukes and Bell, 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game and stay up on everything that's going on. As we mentioned, we're going to talk plenty about the Dogs and Alabama today. Kennington Smith is going to join us a little bit later on. Writes for The Athletic, covers Alabama. Mike, I just said this. Abe was leaving. I like the Dogs. I just feel like this week off is going to do them justice. And I'm not telling that Kalen DeBoer doesn't have his team ready or that this won't be a close game. I agree with Barbara Dooley, who said it's a three-point game. But I like the Dogs in this spot. And this is a spot, Mike, traditionally where everybody around the country looks at this and goes, oh, they don't play well in Tuscaloosa. They don't win there. They probably won't win this weekend. And that is why I like them. Because I got to tell you, I think Kirby's been telling his guys that, Mike, all week long. For a lot of times, it's just, you know, it's status quo. The Dogs are playing somebody, you know they're better, and they're going to win. This week, everybody expects them to go to Tuscaloosa and probably lose, lay an egg, have a mistake or two. Carson Beck, screw things up. Mike, I like the Dogs, man.
I like the Dogs. I just don't. I mean, this is a game. And you said we spent a lot of time yesterday. You brought this up. Carson Beck really needs to. Game manager ain't going to cut it. Okay.
Did you just call him a game manager?
No, but Kentucky game, that's all he was. It wasn't nothing special.
Is he a game manager?
No, I think he's better than that. I just don't think he's up to that level just yet.
Guys, did you hear Mike call him a game manager?
He was a game manager in that first quarter against Clemson.
Oh, did you hear him?
I am not calling Carson Beck a bum. How dare you?
No, Warren. Is he a game manager?
No, he needs to be a superstar. Okay. He needs to be a Heisman Trophy candidate, which you and I talked about all summer. Right now, he's not even close.
He's not saying what he is, and he's saying what he should be.
Thank you, Oren. What Oren just said.
All right, I just want
to
make sure
he needs to be
him.
Better than what he's at. Because, again, you know, you won with Stetson Bennett, with all of, even after Stetson won a national championship, you had Bulldog Nation going, can we get a real quarterback in here? And the guy goes and does it again. You know, it's the one thing that's always been missing, and that is the superstar quarterback.
Do you think he is a game manager?
If he doesn't play explosive, now again, he needs to get. He's not a game manager. Jake Fromm is a game manager.
Okay, I'm just asking. Yeah. I mean, we yeah. went from all this hype in the offseason surrounding
so far,
him.
He ain't it.
He's not
no.
shown
now,
it.
Now, Milrow, look, Milrow is high risk, high reward. Milrow may turn it over, but Milrow has got the explosive play. Georgia's got to stop the explosive play. Georgia hasn't allowed anything explosively, touchdowns at all. But you've getting into a match where Milrow is a star and Beck is a dude, and Carson Beck needs to be a star. How's that? I said, dude.
I know what you said, but I know what it sounds like.
In the 19th century nomenclature, meaning average, just a guy.
By the way, for those of you who are like, oh, Dukes of Bell, here you guys go. The reason why these guys could be game managers in the past is because the defense was so damn good.
And the defense is just okay. It's a good defense. I mean, statistically, you did play some two of your opponents were kind of, you know, weak sauce. Kentucky, you know, it was a close game. Give credit to Kentucky being physical. But you've got to get your A game. Carl, the receivers, you know, the transfer, everybody's got to step it up. And the running backs, they better win that battle at the running backs who's got more yards.
Mike Bell says he cannot be a game manager, which is what he's been on Saturday, if the Dogs are going to win. We're coming back. Bryant McFadden joins us next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Just be a game manager.
Mike I never Bell's said words. That. You're putting Mike words Bell's in my words. Mouth. You're putting words
he
in my mouth.
He was a game manager.
Okay, see? I may have said that.
See?
Yeah, I may have said
that. You've got some people believing this. And I told you this when I got back from Kentucky. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Bryant McFadden's going to join us here, talk some NFL. Real quick, poll questions up. Carson Beck, does he need to be a star in order for UGA to reach the ultimate goal? And I said this, Mike, this wasn't even me. We're sitting there, you know, half these folks, they don't know we're from Georgia. We got, right. You know, we're supporting Kentucky because our daughter's there. But they're like, he ain't that good. This was one quarter in. And they were not impressed. And this is not, you know, the Kentucky defense is not the best defense that Georgia's going to see all season.
Right.
So I'm like, And as the game went on, we saw his struggles. I just feel like this has to be a bounce-back game for him.
Carson Beck right now with 7 touchdowns, no picks. Obviously, you can't complain about that.
Nope.
A QBR of 84.6 last year. Carson Beck, 24 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. Nice stats if it's 1983. So, I mean, he's got to – look, you come to Georgia, you got to be the man. You ran everybody else out because you won the job.
Yeah.
But you, I mean, like, it is what it is. You guys know it. This isn't like some big news flash. You got to have a star quarterback. Look at everybody who made it to the Final Four last year in the college football playoffs. You guys might not respect J.J. McCarthy's game, but the dude delivered.
All right. More on the Dogs coming up. You'll hear from Kirk Cousins as well with the quarterback report. Let's talk to B-Mac right now. First of all, you're right. You were right.
Say that again.
You were right about the Steelers in the run game and all the stuff that happened in the Chargers game, all right? I got to own it. I mean, they shut the Chargers down. Hell, they put Herbert out
again.
Knocked
Herbert out, busted up his leg, man.
So you're right. All right, I don't want to talk about that. What I want to talk about is Falcons Saints. Mike and I have been talking about it all week. Give us your opinions on what the Saints are coming in here with. Are they the team we saw in weeks 1 and 2? Or are they the team we saw in week 3 against the Eagles that lost at home?
Wow, great question. Mm-hmm. Great question. The best way I can answer that, guys, is that I believe the Saints, they're a good team. Now, do I expect to see the heavy production that we saw in weeks 1 and 2 against Carolina? Very, very bad team. Against the Cowboys, run defense has been atrocious as well. Do I expect to see that same production throughout the rest of the year? No. But they're a playoff-caliber team, guys. They're a playoff-caliber team, so they're a good team. Now, for the Saints, how will this offense look without Eric McCoy in the lineup moving forward for some weeks now? He was a very, very important piece to their entire offense, you know, one of the top centers in the game. The communication that he displays week in and week out when it comes to run, picking up run fits and blitz concepts. You know, I consider centers to be like the catcher to a pitcher in baseball. Right. They're very, very important to the quarterback. So let's see how this offensive line handles, you know, life without Eric McCoy. But, yeah, they're a good team. They're a really good team, a playoff-caliber team. And this is a high-level matchup in the National Football League this weekend. When you look at both teams, you know, coming off a loss, both teams have really improved. In my opinion, I think both teams could easily win their division.
Last game of the season last year, Bryant, they lit us up, man. Chris Olave. I mean, they got some good wide receivers, man. Maybe unless you're not a fantasy football fan and you know these guys, maybe not household names, but they do the work, and we need to get heat. How important would it be getting pressure? We're the second worst in the NFL right now as far as sacks.
It's super important, and to that point, that's a great stat, by the way, Mike. But to that point, the Falcons' defense has still been a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
They play what I call, you know, elbow defense. They bend, but they don't break, especially in the red zone, in the red area. So the sacks will come. They will come. But even if you don't get sacks, the pressures are just as important sometimes because now you're forcing the quarterback to throw when he's not prepared to throw or when the wide receiver isn't open. So those things kind of work hand in hand when you talk about sacks, when you talk about pressures. But for the Falcons defensively playing against this Saints team, number one, first down is very, very important. You got to win first down. You got to find a way to get the Saints offensively in second and long situations, which will be in your benefit. And number two, anytime the Saints get in these condensed formations, they're taking a shot. It's usually a two-man route with Olave, Shaheed, and they're taking shots down the football field. Usually it's a high-low concept where you got a deep dig coming on one side, followed by a deep post opposite, and they're taking shots. And that has been their calling card in the first 3 weeks of the season based on how they orchestrated their points. When they get an opportunity to take shots, they usually take shots, and it comes from condensed formations. So when you see that Atlanta – Jesse Bates, Justin Simmons, those guys are well prepared. They study film extremely well. They're going to be in position to make plays. And if they're able to do so, I mean, Falcon fans will be smiling from ear to ear.
Yeah, Derek Carr will throw it to you now. He threw us pick six last year to Bates. I mean, Bates, you know, they laughed after the game because I think he knew, like, hey, I knew exactly where you were going. To your point about the film study and being prepared, Saints-Falcons, 1 o'clock on Sunday. Let's talk about some of these other games as we go around the NFL with Bryant McFadden, two-time Super Bowl champion. He does a great podcast called All Things Covered. He was a corner, get it, with Patrick Peterson and a CBS NFL analyst. All right, as we look at some of these other big games on Sunday, you start to look at some of these games and you go, all right, well, maybe. I want to jump to the Bills-Ravens Sunday night. Josh Allen is playing his best football, man. I feel that way. And Ravens come off of a big win where they showed, hey, we can show up in a big spot against Dallas on the road, but they get the Bills at home. Is this the Bills coming in here going 4-0 against the Ravens?
I think so, guys. I really think so. And to your point, Josh Allen is playing. He is the best player in the NFL right now in 3 weeks of play. And the talent, the athleticism has always been there. The one Achilles heel for Josh Allen has been what? Sloppiness with the football,
yeah, turnovers.
He has gotten that out of his game. Now you can't really criticize him for anything right now because he's doing everything right. And think about this. Even without Matt Milano in the lineup, arguably their best defensive player, they haven't missed the beat defensively. They've done a great job on all three levels of their defense, and they're playing against a team that just got their first win against the Dallas Cowboys, but you saw a lapse in production in the second half, in the fourth quarter, against Dallas, what made that game extremely tight. So I like Buffalo in this spot because Buffalo has been playing the best football, and as a total team, they've been well-balanced and they've been the most consistent.
We were talking a lot this week, came up in the conversation after the Jaguars just looked awful in one of those doubleheader Monday night games. Speaking of Buffalo, we were saying when you look at the numbers, he's basically comped with Daniel Jones almost to the percentage point. Is Trevor Lawrence one of the biggest busts as far as that contract they just gave him and what he's giving you on the field?
You know what? I don't want to say bust, Mike. I don't want to say bust. But one of the bigger disappointments in the National Football League this season, yes, and you can tie that with the Jacksonville Jaguars as an entire team as well. But you remember when they gave him that contract, and I came on with you guys and I said the quarterback position is one of the more overvalued position in all professional sports in our country, right? And you look at Trevor Lawrence, remember, they didn't necessarily have to pay him when they did.
Nope.
But they gave him a record-breaking deal, popping, what, 55 million per year.
Yep.
And you look at his numbers since being in the NFL, it doesn't warrant that type of contract, but the market is what the market is. But also too, guys, when you give a player that type of money, your expectations, they rise. They rise. Deserving so. So now you're supposed to play up to that level, and it's hard to make that a reality when you didn't play up to that level before the contract. So they have dropped the ball in mismanaging that entire situation financially because you gave him a deal. Okay, cool. But now you're expecting him to go out and play like one of the best quarterbacks in the National Football League. No. Right now he's in the same neighborhood as Daniel Jones. And the thing about Daniel Jones can run.
Right.
He's athletic. He's a physical runner. I mean, Trevor Lawrence right now, he's not throwing well. He's not trying to run. He's not doing anything significant for the Jacksonville Jaguars. And I can tell you this much, it's not going to get any easier Sunday because they got to go to Houston, who's coming off a loss to Minnesota. So they're looking at 0-4. Really, the reality of 0-4 could really become a thing after Sunday, and if that's the case, I don't want to say the season is over.
It's over.
But the likelihood of them getting to the postseason is not likely when you're 0-4.
Yeah, I think Peterson gets fired.
I was gonna say,
The season's over. I'm with you on this. And by the way, the Texans got humiliated, by the way. That wasn't just a loss. They got humiliated by the Vikings. It is Brian McFadden. If you were a player and your coach came out publicly and said, a bunch of y'all made business decisions, how would that go over with you? Because that's what the Raiders are facing as the Browns come in this weekend.
I mean, you got to watch the tape, and hopefully you weren't one of those businessmen that was making business decisions out there. The tape don't lie. The tape don't lie. I know you guys have seen potential examples of what he referenced during that presser that looked like a business decision.
Antonio Pierce is who we're talking about, guys. That's the coach of the Raiders.
Antonio Pierce, former player, played linebacker for the Giants, you know, physical guy when he played. So, you know, he expects a certain standard to be reached there, and it didn't reach. And that was one of the more bigger upsets last week when you talk about Carolina making the quarterback change with Andy Dalton, went into Vegas and just manhandled the Raiders for four quarters on both sides of the football field. And that was a Raider team that just came off of beating the Baltimore Ravens to retire. So that was a disappointing outing for them. And now they get Cleveland coming right back into their building, another team that is kind of spiraling in the wrong direction. So Antonio Pierce is trying to wake up his guys, and he wants them to understand you always got to keep your foot on the gas. Every week in the National Football League is about proving yourself, proving your worth. Resumes means nothing in the National Football League. And clearly they were kind of feeling themselves after beating the Ravens and kind of got caught sleeping at the wheel against Carolina and got that, as I like to say, that raccoon eye. Yep. They got that black eye, and let's see, can they get it right this week against Cleveland?
Hey, man, 49ers are 1-2. They'll probably get it done this week against the Patriots for obvious reasons, but are they dead in the water big picture without Christian McCaffrey as far as the Super Bowl?
You know what? I don't think they can get to the Super Bowl without Christian McCaffrey. I'll say that. But they can get into the playoffs. Now, for them to get into the playoffs, they got to get healthy. You know, you got to get Deebo Samuel back in the lineup. You got to get George Kittle back in the lineup. You know, defensively get some of your guys back in the lineup as well. Well, they will be missing Javon Hargrave, their best interior defensive lineman for the rest of the season. But that team is still good enough to get into the playoffs. But, Carl, Mike, when you talk about Super Bowl aspirations and that was the mindset for that team, they will not get there without Christian McCaffrey.
All right, B. We got to get out of the way, man, and get out of here. We always appreciate you stopping by. We get two more Monday night games, by the way, Titans, Dolphins, Seahawks, Lions. But, you know, we've got a full slate of games on Sunday that we're looking forward to. None bigger for us than the Saints Falcons. You can listen to it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, man, we will talk to you next week. And by the way, Steelers win this week against the Colts. They're 4-0 going into that game against the Cowboys next week. That's going to get really interesting. So we got a lot to look forward to, B. Thank you so much, man.
Thank you for having me.
All right, that's Brian McFadden. Guys, coming up, QB report, Kirk Cousins. And Mike has already stirred the pot today.
You made me.
And
he was a game manager.
Wait a minute, that sounds a little...
He was a game manager.
I didn't say.
Wait, I did not say bumps. See, this is what happens. Now, Oren has altered the audio.
I don't think he did.
Oren has now altered the audio and made it sound for a minute like I was going to call a Georgia football player a bum, which I would never.
Guys, did you hear Mike call him a game manager? We're going to get more into this. Poll questions up. But when we come back, we got to hear from our quarterback as part of our headlines here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
He was a game manager. That's It is Dukes of Bell on a Friday. We're wearing the old school kit, baby. Red lids, black jersey, white britches, Carl, which I think everybody loves. I know I love it. We got a winning record when we wear the throwbacks. I personally love to see those be the all-time every-year jerseys for the Falcons.
When I saw the guys this week with the red helmets, I got hyped. I'm not going to lie. I was like, ooh, can't wait till Sunday. But, Mike, we just got some news about the Saints.
Yeah, well, the thing is, we were just talking about the if we lose, you realize this is three straight losses.
Don't say that.
At home?
Don't say
that. To start the season? I mean, is there more on Kamara? Did I miss something?
No, the two starters are out. Turtle, jump in here because
Breaking news just came down
that they are going to be without two of their guys that are mainstays on that Saints defense.
So not good for the Saints, good for the Falcons. Guard Cesar Ruiz is out along with center Eric McCoy, who we know is on the IR. And then it was also announced that linebacker DeMario Davis is going to miss this game as well.
All right, so it sounds like from the defensive side for us, I think Grady can eat, right? If you got some weakness up the middle. So let's hope that that affects Matthew Judon and we get some heat because you've got to get pressure. We just talked about it with Brian McFadden. Carr carved us up last year with no pressure on the QB.
And just made me want to go harder.
Right on, baby. Go get it.
Those two guys, McCoy and Ruiz, are their best two offensive linemen. That's what they're missing. And now you're telling me DeMario Davis is out too? Come on now.
Third on the team in tackles. Got a sack. Guy, obviously, you know, he's got a pass defense. So he's like, he's a Swiss Army knife. He's all over the field.
He is, man. That news just literally hit, and I was like, Now, we haven't heard anything about our Falcons yet as far as if McGarry, or, you know, some of the other injuries will play a role for us Sunday, but that news is still to come.
Wait a minute. D-Led just posted a photo
of
Caleb McGarry back in practice, Carl.
There we go.
So he's okay.
I needed him to practice Friday, and it is Friday. All right, so that's good news. I said, Mike, I think he plays with the day-to-day status. We know Dahlman's out, but I think that helps us, man, especially getting this run game reestablished. I'm telling you guys, man, like there was a before he got hurt last week and an after. Now, we weren't running the ball great, but we were running it a lot better when he was in there. Either way, we'll see what that's going to look like. Real quick, if you're just joining us, poll questions up. We're talking about the dogs and Alabama. And we asked you guys at Dukes and Bell 929, pretty simple poll question. And a lot of guys are responding, Mike, in regards to this Carson Beck question that we asked. And guys, did you hear Mike call him a game manager?
That's what I heard.
He said, the poll question says, does Carson Beck need to be a star for Georgia to reach their ultimate goal? Now, here's what's crazy, and I know we got to hear from Kirk Cousins, and we will. Quarterback reports on the way. But, Mike, Georgia fans are acting like they were all for Stetson Bennett. Nobody thought Stetson Bennett was a star.
Guys, we had to defend Stetson Bennett as when he took – I mean, guys, when he took over for JT Daniels, and then after he won the national championship, there were still some Georgia fans that were still more about, well, who's – yeah, okay, but
– I hope he leaves.
Yeah, I mean
– I mean, seriously.
You remember the speech he did at the second championship parade?
Yes.
Where he just sat there and railed on all the fans. It's like, you don't believe me. Y'all didn't believe in me. Y'all didn't think this was going to happen again. And, of course, it did.
I mean, look, there's probably somebody on a Georgia Bulldog chat room right now saying that he wants to see Rashada, you know, out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, look, Georgia fans, we've talked about this going all the way back to Justin Fields and whatever that was.
They paid him, right? You know? Rashada, he's good.
I think so. Well,
I'm just asking.
We're waiting to see. I don't know what Georgia's NIL deal with him is right now. I don't know how marketable the fourth string quarterback is, technically. I'm sure what that pays.
I don't want somebody, you know, putting out a statement saying they're leaving.
Because technically he's sitting behind Gunnar Stockton and Ryan Pulisi, you know, from Connecticut.
All right,
so.
All right.
But either way, but yeah, I just, guys, you Georgia fans want that Heisman. They want that dual threat, super duper rock star quarterback, which Kirby has never produced.
Are you saying Carson Beck's not that guy?
He's a guy. Show me
he was a game manager.
All right, real quick. For the record, Oren is very talented.
What are you talking about? You said those things.
He clipped me where I normally say he's a bum.
He
doctored the audio.
No, he did not.
Yes, he did.
What is this, AI? You would have been right here in front of me.
Just like what happened to Shannon Sharp. I was hacked. Audio hack.
You hit the record button, yes. Right? Yeah. Okay. All right, more on this to come. We got to hear from Kirk Cousins, guys. We do it every Friday. Dave Archer sits down with him, and we get the quarterback report.
Report is brought to you by Rooms to Go. Buy the piece, save a little. Buy the room, save a lot. Here's Dave Archer.
Back here with our quarterback on Countdown to Kickoff with Kirk Cousins. And Kirk, I know there's been some frustrating moments. There's also some pretty good moments when you look at the offense. From an evaluation standpoint, I know you're not hitting on all cylinders, hitting on some of them. Tell me about that.
Yeah, I think, you know, in pro football, there's just not a lot of room for error. And so over four quarters, you've got to be, you know, near flawless, you know, drive in and drive out, play in and play out to give yourself a chance. And when you have five, six plays out there that you feel like you left out there, you end up walking away off the field going, man, you know, we're not where we want to be. So I think the encouraging news in our two losses is that we have – it's fixable things, and but it's we can't be passive about that. We can't just say, "Oh, it'll happen, it'll come." We have to say, "No, we're gonna, you know, go make it happen with how we prepare and how we work."
You got two guys new up front, not new to the game, but new in the starting lineup, but guys that have played. How much does that matter?
Yeah, I think it helps that Storm Norton's played a lot of football at right tackle, knows what, you know, there are as far as challenges and what he's got to do. And then News as well at center has played a lot of football, and it's not going to be too big for him. So I go into the game with a confidence in them like I would if Drew and Caleb were out there. I mean, that's the way you have to play, and I think that confidence is merited with how these guys have played in the past.
Divisional games always amp up a little bit more, mean maybe a tad more, if you will. This is a rivalry game. How much do you allow that to – do you talk guys out of that scenario?
No, when I played in Washington, you know, they always talked about Dallas, you know, a division rival in Dallas. And then when I went to Minnesota, they always talked about the Packers. I was a border state, and there was that rivalry. And so when I got here to Atlanta, it was very clear, it's the Saints. You know, certainly every game counts one. They're all important, and you understand that. But just like the Dallas rivalry in Washington and the Packer rivalry in Minnesota, the Saints are the rivalry here, and you understand that, and you take it seriously.
Okay, when you throw them on tape, I know they're good on defense, they're aggressive, they're physical. Tell me what you see.
Well, I think they're a group that, you know, they've played together a little while now. You know, Dennis Allen's been there a long time as a D coordinator before being the head coach, and it's a scheme that they've kind of consistently executed now with DeMario Davis at the mic, Tyrann Mathieu at safety, Marshawn Lattimore at corner, Cameron Jordan at a defensive end. You know, they've changed some pieces around those guys, but there's a core nucleus running a core scheme for years now. And as a result, I think they can play fast and confident, and they know their identity, and so it'll be a good challenge for us.
All right, last thing for you. I know that Bijan Robinson means a lot to this team in a lot of areas. He's done a great job. You and I talked post-game about him stepping up and picking up blitzes. I know you want him out. They're going to try to copycat and try to keep him in. How do you navigate that?
Yeah, good question. I think that you know, he can help us as a receiver, but in this day and age in the NFL, running backs, you know, have to be in there as protection too, and it just depends how people want to defend us and how they want to pressure us. And you know, we can also have counters and say, hey, you know, if they want to keep him in, how can we get creative to kind of play that against them? So it's always a chess match, and it'll keep adapting as we go week to week to see how people are defending us. But you know, regardless of how we do it, we're gonna, you know, try to get the football in his hands.
Go have some fun this weekend.
All right, thanks, Arch.
Let's hope that is the case. That is our quarterback report with Kirk Cousins, talking about all the different facets. And again, there's some execution stuff that we've got to be better at this week. There's no doubt about that. We got to be better on third down. And Mike, plain and simple, what's the most important thing we have to do Sunday, man? I mean, like, if you get one thing, you say, hey, here's the one thing we absolutely have to
do.
Well,
I'll start with third down. We spent a lot of time this week on our terrible, abysmal third down rate. And the only thing more abysmal than that is our inability to get the quarterback on the ground. Like, we love Judon. He's dealing with a hamstring. But we talked about they've got different guys, backups at center and guard. We've got a backup at center, and now we found out McGarry is playing. So, guys, injuries no one gives a crap about. You got to get out there. We've just got to find a way. So, Jimmy Lake, let's get back to the drawing board and let's be more imaginative. Because if you give this guy time, he will. I mean, I'm a broken record on this, but I sat through it last January. So let's get some heat on the quarterback. But number one, all those things you guys want to see, more pits, more balance with Bijan and Tyler Allgeier, that only comes, Carl, when you get more than 50 plays. You got to make those third down conversions.
So what's the one thing we must do then?
I'll go to third down. Then.
Okay.
Because I'm going to outscore the opponent. Generally, you win. So third down.
There is a lot there. But when you think about this game, you've got to find one thing that you feel is the most important thing we have to do. I'm with Mike. Move the chain, stay on the field, score some points. That all helps everything else, and the defense is not out there like they were last week. Offense at some point, hello, has got to help our defense. Defense is getting off the field.
Right. No, look, I'm not banging on the defense, but this is just one of those games where you're going to need some heat. And it doesn't have to – Mike Smith, sacks are overrated.
Come on, Mike.
Well, somebody – put some pressure, do something to get Carr off the spot so he can't sit back there and, you know, pat the baby and then find somebody down 3 seconds down the field.
It is Dukes and Bell. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Also, as we heard from Kirk Cousins, that headlines were brought to you by ATL Live Well. Don't just live, live well. Our poll question is interesting. Carson Beck, does he need to be a star in order for UGA to reach their ultimate goal? And some of these responses are funny to me. I mean, one of them, this guy's handle is Atlanta Bird Gang. Mm-hmm. Is water wet? Okay, so you're telling me that Carson is a star. He's an elite quarterback in college football. Because that's what you're telling me when you say mm-hmm. the answer to this question is duh. Again, I get back to the reason why we're even having this conversation is because he hasn't shown that. Another guy, Chris, hits us up. Guys, I think the answer to this is duh. So Carson is special elite quarterback in college football. Because I'm going to tell you something right now. I got to mention this, Mike. The guy that they're playing on Saturday night is being compared to Lamar Jackson. And I'm not making that up. They're saying Jalen Milroe, who will be draft eligible in the spring, by the way, if he wants to go, is comp. His comp, Mike, is Lamar. They're saying, look, his offense, it's not traditional. His deep ball is great. He's big. He's strong. He's hard to bring down. He's fast. He makes plays. There's something about him. His talent is undeniable. Can you say that about Carson Beck?
No, you can't. You just can't. You know, Milroe was an all-world quarterback recruit, and Carson Beck, you know, his junior year was actually better down in Florida than his senior year. His team kind of graduated some players. He was kind of left without some playmakers, but he's waited his time because Kirby, look, guys, you know what it is. Kirby likes the guy who's got the experience. And he's never gonna deviate from that. But he's got to be explosive. He's got to be the guy, and the playmakers got to work because he can throw the ball. But those receivers have got to step up. You've got to get some explosive plays because Alabama wins the game with explosive plays. And Alabama's got some of the best wide receivers, including a kid who's 17. You could argue that a 17-year-old true freshman at Alabama is better than anybody Georgia's got at wide receiver right now.
He is coming up.
That's not Beck's fault.
No, that is not. They got to block for him. You're right, Mike. The guys have to get open. But he's got to deliver as well. There's something to be said about putting the team on your back. We've seen other guys do it. Cam Ward is doing it right now at Miami.
Yep.
All right. We got more to get to. Go check out the poll, man. I'm just saying, like, everybody's like, oh, that's a no-brainer. Is it? All right. 404-726-0929. We're coming back. NFL Blitz, big news dropped yesterday about the ATL. Did you hear it? We'll tell you about it next.